All around the coast of Australia, hiding in crevices, disused beer bottles and Coke bottles and plastic containers, all around the coast is a cute little octopus, which is quite timid. It comes out at night and hunts little crabs and seashells, crustaceans in general. And this little octopus, people don't know about because it's so shy and it comes out at night. And if unless you're looking for it, you're a diver and know about it, very few people know about it. But we definitely knew about it in the 70s. It's the famous blue-ringed octopus. This little octopus, when upset, it's go from its sort of beigey, hard, sandy colour, and its rings would begin to pulsate. And you could be in trouble because then it's a little beak underneath an octopus. If you turn it up, it's got a tiny little beak where all the tentacles come together at the middle of its body. Its beak will bite you, and the bite's not that painful, but because there's a whole lot of toxins in it which anaesthetise it, so you don't even feel the bite. It's a tiny little bite. These octopuses are quite small. They can the baby ones are the size of peas. The biggest they get will stretch across your hand. They might be the size of a squash or golf ball, about that size. But their rings will pulsate blue, and then it'll bite you, and it will bite you and inject you with a incredibly powerful neurotoxin. And you'll be in trouble for the next 24 hours, requiring life support to get you through. Of course, fortunately, that's a lot about around the place. And that's the blue-ringed octopus, famed and feared in the 70s. But there's been other things we've been talking about. It's sort of gone off the menu of deadly animals that we're worried about. But it's still there. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific for the benefit of education and getting into deep science. So what's here is a bit of, in this talk, a bit about the anatomy of octopuses, the blue-ringed octopus. That's some of the, I suppose, my personal experience growing up going in to find out about it. At the eventuality is a an amazing neurotoxin called tetrodioxin, which is produced by bacteria in the little saliva glands of this octopus. This octopus has a range of toxins that it just squirts in the general direction of a crustacean. It becomes immobilized, and then it kills it and eats it, I suppose, essentially sucking it out. It's got its little beak. So just to get your you navigating around the anatomy of an octopus, there's eight tentacles. The tentacles are arrayed with a dual array of suckers. These are muscles which go in and adhere to surfaces of rocks. I don't think it's a suction fact. There must be some sort of spine or something which is underneath it, which attaches. I really haven't thought of this. Eight tentacles, a central beak for eating. I really don't know about the digestive system. There's an array of gills. The neurology of that is the nerve system of an octopus is quite a fascinating thing. It's got a set of gills. Octopuses famously have three hearts. That's one for the central pumping, and then also another sort of turbo pumping of its fluid above its gills, so one above each gill. And a bivalve or a multivalve thing, so it sucks in water and can actually squirt out water. Normal fish and everything. It's got a liver, and it can actually inject its bile juice directly into its stream and produce an inkjet. I think a lot of octopuses, a lot of squids can produce this cloudy inkjet, which will sort of muddy the water to protect it. So the blue-ringed octopus has developed a protection system of being able to change its colours. A lot of octopuses can, and cuttlefish can signal by changing its colour on its skin. I don't know, I'll have to actually look at the processes of it. And the actual blue-ringed octopus is a class of species related to species. There's the lesser southern one, like I know of. Look, I know, let's go a little bit. When I was at Adelaide University, after my honours year, I went there for a brief time to check out my PhD. And I met a marine group of marine biologists and who'd go out on a little boat into Spencer's Gulf. So Adelaide's still on the map. There's, if you look at the map of Australia, South Australia, there's this sort of leg of land going down Port Pirie, Eyre Peninsula, and at the base of that there's Kangaroo Island. But on the mainland side of that is Adelaide, and that the water going up there is actually quite shallow and ideal octopus territory. And I had people going out there. I think his job was to hunt and, or not hunt, but to pick up and to take data on blue-ringed octopuses. And back then, most people knew about blue-ringed octopuses. I would expect that if I asked my students today, there'd be none that would know about them. But these were definitely of folklore, and he would describe them there. I think he was actually looking about. So I began to learn a bit about octopuses, describing to them that they're essentially related to snails. I also knew another marine biologist who worked at the Melbourne Museum, and their octopuses were amazingly intelligent in terms of if they'd see a window, they'd actually throw themselves out of the tank and try to walk and get to the window to escape. So there'd be a lot of strange intelligence around it. Now, they're three hearts, so you can imagine it, an octopus over the time meeting different biological challenges and going out and making choices, going down a evolutionary path. So their brain in neurology is actually a ring around their gut, and so there's a limit to their brain growth development, in that if their brain expands in size, they actually strangle themselves. They actually their gut is through their center. Now, I'm not sure. I think I'm not exactly sure whether there's an anus. I'll have to look on it of an octopus and how that is arranged. But they do have a fluid pump breathing system, which is also a propulsion, or can be a propulsion system, and can actually squirt their saliva at different positions. So I think a lot of octopuses do, obviously, there's the idea of, octopuses actually just overpowering prey, but I do think there's a lot of things with octopuses in the in the venom aspect. So there is a sort of a natural venom, and so this venom, like a lot of venoms, not produced by the biology of the octopus itself. It's a symbiotic relationship with bacteria, definitely so in the blue-ringed octopus steaks. So that's my overall experience of understanding. There's a lot of things on the vision of octopuses which are very highly evolved, an example of octopus. And if you look at the eyes, they have that iris, which is a sort of C-shaped getting through. And again, recently there's been a lot of, when I say iris, is the pupil. There's been a lot of view for the evolution of pupils. So goats and various animals have different shapes of pupils to give them different resolutions or a resolution advantage depending on what they're after. The cats have a famous vertical pupil. I think cows have a pupil the other direction. It gives them resolution for predators coming in. They can actually spot them up. There's a whole feast from there. So there's a lot of interesting things. I suppose I'd be interested to look at the octopus's eyes and see whether how their actual structure. The humans have a lot of eye structures which are a bit funny. We've got our blood and nerve plumbing to our cells, our retina on the top. So our retina is nice and smooth, but the actual plumbing to is on the top. So we've got nerves and veins and arteries going over the top, sort of covering our camera. So it's sort of like if you have a camera, you expect to and you open it up, you expect to see the CCD freely. So imagine if the wiring was over the top. So we've got this thing where we're constantly shaking our cameras so we can see, and we sort of, by software, remove that constant shaking to get around the fact that part of our vision is covered up. I would just wonder whether that's in the octopuses. And again, I'm curious to see how the actual octopuses go through the changing of colours. So these are quite amazing animals in that they've evolved as sort of ultra-intelligent snails. And there is something that I have heard, but again, I don't know whether this is true. There's a whole heap of things here that octopuses are an example of an animal which can be trained, but when it goes through a sleep stage, it forgets a lot of its training, where in other animals, the opposite goes. It trains, the sleep stage progresses the training to a more sophisticated stage. And we definitely know in neural networks that we can train basically a neural network, an artificial brain, but it's got to go through a mathematical sleep stage before it learns a higher level. We don't quite understand what's going on. Again, that's from scientists I've spoke to who have built very early neural networks, and actually say that there's this fascinating stage where they train it to a certain stage and it limits, but if they leave it just running for a while, it burns in this burn-in stage. Again, that seems to be doesn't work so well with octopuses, just putting it together. The actual you read now, there's three recorded deaths of blue ring octopuses, so I think perhaps it's because, oh yeah, blue ring octopuses made it into the Bond movie, I think Octopussy. I can't remember. It's one of these movies which you say, let's watch it with the kids, and you go, oh my god, oh no, this is it's a bit bad. And I think they had an octopus in a tank, and of course, what happened? The tank broke, and the octopus went over this person's face. And the idea of blue ring octopuses being venomous. Now, although they've been associated with, so they're in the movies, and they are quite. I really have never seen an octopus attack anything. I've seen it, I've heard of them being quite aggressive when they've got food there. They are quite single-minded and aggressive. They go straight for the fish or the food. It's quite amazing. Amazing to see. So there's a cultural view. Now, on the coast of South Australia, I can remember travelling on the coast of somewhere, and there was this windswept place with a tiny, basically, shed museum with bits, odds and sods, and that would have been more 73, where they had a blue ringed octopus in a bottle, and that was amazing to see. It was basically a jam jar with, you know, methylated spirits with a blue ringed octopus in it. And there was a little detailed story which I've never been able to corroborate, and I'm not going to mention or details at least one death of a blue ringed octopus. And I'm not going to mention so there was a foreign sailor. I'm not going to mention the the country that this sailor come from, because I'm going to give this country a bit of a rest now. But this hapless sailor was with his other sailors, again from another country on the north coast of Australia, and picked up this octopus and was actually handling it for a while, and actually had it on his shoulder to get the other people to photograph it. And I think it was a black and white photograph, but they photographed it, and the photograph shows quite an angry octopus. And that's one of the three known fatalities of it. Another one's up in Singapore. So the octopus has now subsequently been identified going all the way up to Japan. It's been found. Since then, and again, I've now know people who go scuba diving, particularly in the Philippines, looking at different things. There's a special fish which have evolved to merge with garbage and stuff around there. Yes, so there are all those aspects of blue ringed octopuses which are interesting. The standout interesting thing for me is this tetradioxin, which is a molecule which I'll try and understand and explore. And this is a molecule with sort of flat structure, but with a sort of a pyramid of esters and carbons sitting on top of it. It's a really fascinating molecule, and this is the one which interferes with neurotransmitters. This is allegedly sodium transfer in neurons, and to look at it, it's a fascinating molecule to describe with nitrogens and oxygens in it. So I'll get in at a later stage to describe it. So that's my sort of renewed interest in the humble blue-ringed octopus, checking out neurotoxins. And of course, when you get your bite, your first sensation is a bit of a numbness on the tongue. Oh, sorry, not on the tongue. Yeah, probably the tongue, the lips, and stuff like that. And there's a bit of an effort breathing after that. So that's a description of the blue ringed octopus. Again, worth checking up on the net and having a little bit of a look at it. I thought I'd describe that as one of Australia's wonders to greet you. And it's very unlikely that you'll be the fourth victim if you come out here. Thanks for listening. This is Peter Hill Explains.